We are Vintage City Church based out of Fort Collins, Colorado. Welcome to our podcast. If you'd like to watch the live video of this teaching, head over to vintagecitychurch.com. We are so glad you are here. Let's get started with today's teaching.
I want to push pause on our Revelation study. This began as originally on the teaching schedule. This was my wife's Sunday to teach. And she said something akin to, it's Mother's Day. Why do I have to teach? And I was like, well, you don't have to. Maybe we could teach together. And then she went along with that for a while. And she's like, okay, here's what I think we should talk about. And then she's like, I think you should do it. So here I am. I think she very like Jedi mind trick played the card of it's Mother's Day. I shouldn't have to do this. And I just went along with it. These are not the droids you're looking for and all that. She's been paying attention, learning from me. I want to take us into a conversation. I think there's times we miss, ignore, or maybe we're not even aware. Our external world is incredibly influenced by our internal disciplines. Your external world is directly influenced by your internal disciplines. Jesus had an incredible ability to impact his world. Of that, we won't argue. What I think we don't pay attention to is that one of the most unique things about him was his incredible ability to manage his internal nature. For instance, just consider a couple things. Where in Scripture do you ever see Jesus communicate from a place of insecurity? How many of you have ever dealt with insecurity at least once in your life? How many of you have had insecurity drive your communication? Where do you ever see Jesus communicate from insecurity? Nowhere. Here's another one. Where do you ever witness Jesus complaining about his circumstances? Now, the two places you're going to pull up are, well, in the garden, he said, you know, not my will, but yours be done. He didn't complain. He literally asked a question. Hey, is it possible that I don't have to do this? He didn't get an answer. He understood this, that when the Lord gives you a direction and he gives you no answer to remove it, he still gave you a direction. Now that's worth pondering. If the Lord told you to do something and you don't want to do it and you go to the Lord and go, hey, do I have to do this? Well, I didn't hear a yes, so I'm not going to do it. That's actually sin. Just a thought. Where do you ever see Jesus crack under pressure? Where do you ever see his circumstances bring him to failure? These are the little things that we don't always call out and pay attention. I would just offer an observation that Jesus was in complete control of his internal world. I would offer that he, because of that control in his internal world, affected his circumstances instead of allowing his circumstances to affect him. Consider Luke chapter 4. If you go to most of your Bibles in Luke 4, it'll be listed as the temptation of Jesus or something like that. Sorry, the mechanic in me has to tighten this table. It's driving me crazy. Still didn't work. Yeah. He's in the wilderness. He's tempted by the enemy. In this temptation, in this entire process, we don't see a single sign of angst or nervousness, panic, nothing. He's super calm. In this temptation, he's presented with desperate hunger, 40 days, no food. Most scholars believe he spent 40 days without food and water because of where he was at and the inability for him to have had enough water to even, they're like, well, he could have taken a canteen. Sure, because Yetis existed then. I can see Jesus with a Stanley walking around with his water. No, the reality is that we know that the human body is scientifically not supposed to be able to to survive 40 days without water. So we see him face hunger, we see him face thirst, fear of loss, ambition for position, all the things, abandonment, all the things the enemy throws at him. Very familiar things for us. He never gets rattled. In every situation, we just see him do the same thing. Just responds really calmly with this assurance. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I think we find his source. It says, on the night he was betrayed, he broke bread and gave thanks. Now, we glass past that because we've, any of us that have been in church for not very long, have during communion once or twice heard that verse quoted. On the night he was betrayed, he broke bread and gave thanks. But in context, this reveals something incredible. In the midst of betrayal, because that's the context, he's in the midst of being betrayed. He is aware that that betrayal is going to lead him to death. In the midst of that moment, he makes a calculated choice and he gives thanks. I would love to offer an idea that in this revelation lies the secret to how Jesus controlled his internal world. He chose to live through the lens of gratitude. So let's define gratitude in the natural for a second, just so we're all on the same page. Dictionary.com, it's the most authoritative thing out there. The definition of gratitude is the quality of being thankful, a readiness to show appreciation for, and to return kindness to another. Okay, great definition. If we study culture, what does humanity, the world around us, have to say about gratitude? A couple articles I want to pull up. Psychology Today in 2015 released an article that outlined the physiological benefits of gratitude. The Mayo Clinic released very similar findings in 2022. It would appear that the natural world, again, not spiritual people necessarily, just medical people that are observing the physiological realities of gratitude, it would appear that they are starting to see the similar effects of gratitude. Let me give you a few of them. The first one that it is on their list is that gratitude invites others into your world because it brings a strengthening to self-control and an increase of patience. In other words, people want to be around people that are self-controlled and patient. How many have ever woke up and went, you know what I need to do today? I need to find me some really out of control people that are really impatient. I want to be around them today. Some of you are like, yeah, well, I got that and I didn't want it, but it creates an invitation. Gratitude creates an invitation for others to step into our life. According to this study, it improves physical health. These are interesting. Gratitude improves and can create clearer skin. It can deal with acne. Wild. Well, yeah, I'm not saying no skin cream. I'm not here to go pro or con against skin cream. Improves diastolic blood pressure. Huh. Your attitude affects your physical body. Huh. Did you know this? Gratitude creates, this is clinical, less congestion. Next time you see somebody with sinus infection, be like, you need to get thankful. Gratitude bridges a gap with chronic pain and risk of disease. It lessens them. One of the other findings is gratitude improves your mood and your immunity. You fight off infection and disease better when you're grateful. Interesting. It enhances empathy, and get this, guys, it reduces aggression. Any dudes out there just every once in a while just feel angry?
Yeah.
And you're all like, I can't say that in church. You can. You can't lie in church. Actually, it's illegal. You get a lying ticket if you lie in church. that gratitude reduces aggression. Grateful people sleep better. Like, maybe we should count our blessings instead of sheep. It increases self-esteem. You actually feel better about who you are when you're grateful. And it increases mental strength, specifically decreases depression and anxiety. This is not what the Bible teaches about it. This is just what the medical world knows about gratitude. Okay? So let's talk about what the Bible teaches. Because the scriptures give us a 15-word schedule for living in the discipline of gratitude. 15 words to teach us how and why to live in gratitude. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, we're going to look at it. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus for you. Now read that with me. Here we go. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus for you. One more time. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus for you. Now for memorization. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus for you. Let's take a look at these words. The word in is a positional word in Greek, and it means to be placed in something. It's a description of where you are. We understand this really easily. Like, how you doing? Oh, I'm in a tough spot. We understand what it means to be placed into something. Everything is the word pas in the Greek, and it means everything. It means the whole. It is the idea in Greek culture of being at a center point and looking around you in a 360 degree, and that is everything. So in your life, everything means everything. Not rocket science. Give thanks. The word is to express gratitude, to be grateful, and it deals specifically with what is released out of a person and the content of their thoughts. It's anything spoken or communicated. The next phrase, for this. Now, Paul does something in 1 Thessalonians. He makes a statement, in everything give thanks, and then he stops and says, for this, he's pointing at it, what? Give thanks. For this thing right here is the will of God. And this word will of God is important because it means what one wishes or has determined is to happen. He goes on and he adds the phrase, in Jesus for you. He doesn't have to offer that qualifier. There's a reason he does. Number one, what was shared prior is what God wants. Give thanks. But the second thing is when he says in Jesus or in Christ, it helps us understand that this is actually the expectation of God for people who are in Jesus. It's really quiet in here. See, gratitude is the posture of thankfulness prescribed as the proper expression or language of the believer. It's your natural language in the kingdom. Gratitude aligns us with God's desire for us. Three truths from this verse I want to give you. Number one, according to what Paul teaches, your gratitude is not linked to your circumstance. Your gratitude is not linked or conditional on your circumstance. The invitation here is to choose gratitude in every situation, regardless of the situation. Let me say it differently. Your circumstances hold no authority over your gratitude. Your situation holds no authority over your gratitude. Your marriage holds no authority over your gratitude. Your job holds no authority over your gratitude. Your neighbors hold no authority over your gratitude. Based on Paul's teaching, there is nothing that holds authority over your gratitude. In this way, your gratitude will always be an intentional choice. Gratitude is a choice, not a response. Do you know who chooses gratitude? Grateful people. Therefore, a lack of gratitude is actually rooted in an unwillingness to step into the discipline of gratitude. Third thing, you will live as grateful as you are thankful. The words are connected in the Greek. It's almost like they're inextricably linked. Thankfulness creates gratitude. Gratitude is the response of thankfulness. And thankfulness is an intentional choice and an intentional reaction. Based on what I see in this verse, thankfulness is the choice we make on how we respond to life. What does it look like for us to make the choice to respond in every situation with thankfulness? Because gratitude is the byproduct of living thankful. I think that's why worship aligns our hearts so well with gratitude, because it causes us to begin to be thankful. If you're struggling with gratitude, first thing I'd tell you is learn to worship. It's really hard to sing to the one who's seated on the throne, to the one who reigns forever and ever, be all the glory, be all the honor. It's really hard to sing that and not become grateful. So, how do we actually learn to live in a way where we give thanks for everything? Four simple ideas. One, search for and celebrate what is good instead of what is not. Search for and celebrate what is good instead of what is not. What you will begin to notice if you're looking for what is good is you'll find it. And if you're looking for what is wrong, you'll find it. John Maxwell makes a statement that I love, that your attitude affects your altitude. In other words, what you set your attitude on is where you'll end up. The second thing, after you've decided to search for what is good instead of what is bad, or what is right instead of what is wrong, determine to eliminate toxic thought. Love to submit a simple reality. What you dwell upon controls you. No, that doesn't sound like the Bible. Well, let me prove it with the Bible. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Colossians 3, verse 2. Set your mind on the things of heaven, not the things of earth. The word set in the Greek is just as easily rendered think. It is the idea of controlling what we're focusing on. I would love to submit that Jesus controlled what he thought about. That an incredible part of managing his internal world was controlling what he thought about. And what Paul teaches is that we are, when thoughts are in our head and they're bubbling about, we are to grab onto them and look at them and ask the question, is this obedient to Jesus? Can I obey Jesus if I follow this thought? Because I thought it doesn't mean I have to do it. Another one, because you thought it doesn't mean you have to say it. It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble, or get you into a lot of trouble if you reverse it. That we are actually to be cognizant of what we're thinking about. To be mindful of what's going on inside there and ask the question, does this obey him? Because our brain is capable of thinking a lot of things up, but not a lot of those things are Christ-centered. And if we live in a mentality that says, because I thought it, because I feel it, it's truth and I should live it, we're going to end up destroying our lives. As Paul's answer is, so set your minds on the things of heaven. Think on those things instead, not the things of the earth. What does that mean? Don't waste your time thinking about all the dumb stuff around you. The third thing, after you've determined to eliminate toxic thought, decide to control the mouth gate. Ephesians 4 says it this way, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to all who hear them. There it is again. All of a sudden, there's this expectation that what comes out of us is beneficial to everyone. Maybe you're like me, and as you think about this, you're like, I'm going to have to not say a lot of stuff that's going on in my head. I'm going to have to tell myself it doesn't matter to a whole list of things. I don't think I like that. I feel like I'm shutting myself down. It's not me saying it. It's the Bible said it. That it is kingdom legal to tell yourself you don't get to think that way. It is actually kingdom right to say to yourself, I'm sorry, that thought pattern is sin. You are not allowed to go there. I mean, one up it. It's kingdom required. Fourth thing. Understand that ultimately, gratitude and thankfulness are rooted in our understanding of his character. You see, when you make your agenda to know him, you can't help but become grateful and thankful. Psalm 89 says it this way. It's just a character statement about the Lord, and I love it. You are entirely faithful. In other words, there's not a single aspect of you that's not faithful. Therefore, I can follow everything you gave me to do. I can live the way you told me to live, even when I don't want to. I can force myself to become obedient to Scripture, even when I don't want to. I can demand of myself that I don't think those thoughts. I'm going to set them aside because they don't align with you. I can actually corral all of my being into your nature and your character because you're entirely faithful. And if I do what you said, it works. See, if we believe he's entirely faithful, then we live in thanksgiving and joy, letting gratitude control our worldview. Some of us might ask the question, why would I do this? I don't really want to. I'm going to have to change a lot of my communication. That seems like a lot of work. I just have one answer. 1 Thessalonians 5 says it's what God wants. It says it's what he expects. And when we align with his heart for our lives, we draw favor from heaven into our situations. But more importantly, if we're followers of Jesus, we choose to live like Jesus. And if we can hear this and say, I don't really want to have to align to the scriptures. I don't really want to have to align to this place. I would challenge the question of whether or not we're following Jesus. Because in everything he did, he gave thanks. In the midst of the hardest season of his life, we see him give thanks. Here's my request. We take bread and cup a lot. The word means to give thanks. Eucharisto, same word. It's rooted in gratitude. Maybe we should, instead of taking bread and cup, we should become bread and cup. That every time we walk into a room, we decide, I am Eucharisto. I am the bread and cup. I am going to be the gratitude of heaven in this room. I'm going to be grateful and thankful. I'm going to change the atmosphere I'm in instead of letting it change me. I'm going to take this kingdom dynamic of thankfulness and I'm going to apply it so I can infect every room I'm in with gratitude. because my King said, in everything you do, give thanks. Let's stand. We should have incredibly thankful Mother's Day meals now. Just remember, gratitude invites people into your world. How many say, I need more of that in my life?
Yeah.
Need more gratitude? Yeah, amen. Jesus, we love you. It is in these micro moments when we start to really assess your day-to-day character and how you live that you become so mind-blowing to me. These are the places where I'm like, wow. Would you lead us and teach us in how to model and do what you did? You're the guide. You're the teacher. Holy Spirit, we give you carte blanche authority to edit and to convict, to laugh at us, to whisper, whatever it takes. When we let go of gratitude, Jesus, we want to be a people that affect our world instead of it affecting us. We want to be a people that the world around us could say, what is wrong with them? They're just so grateful. So be with us today. Be in every conversation and all of our travels. May your mercy be upon us. We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for your time with us. If you enjoyed this teaching, we would love to invite you to join us at a live gathering. We are located at 1501 Academy Court in Fort Collins, Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about Vintage City Church, including our gathering times, previous teachings, and how to become a part of our family, visit us today at vintagecitychurch.com and be sure to connect with us on social media.